Hymn of celebration, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. We're going to do verses 1, 2, 3, and 5, and it's number 139 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
us unite in the historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Goble family to come at this time. This is Bo and Tara Lane. They're here with their son Teddy, but they also have Camden in Georgia. They're here to make covenants with you and before God in the raising of their son, Teddy. In a few moments, you'll have a part to play as well. We make covenants before God, which means that we promise to do things, and in return, we ask for God's help to help us, in this case, in the raising of their child. We do it inside of a community, even though we make individual commitments of our faith. So I ask you now, before this congregation, on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture Teddy in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
What name is given to this child? You ready? Oh, come on. Yeah. Hey, little Teddy, I got you. Got some curls. Yeah. Theodore Dean, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God's grace and mercy rest upon you all the days of your life. Amen. Now, you too have a part to play in this. They ask for your help in the raising of Teddy. And so do you now renew your faith in God, place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and place your whole trust in his grace for salvation? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture Teddy in faith by loving and caring for him? And will you do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love? If so, answer, I will. I want to invite you, if you would, I think it's hymn number 191, Jesus Loves Me. If you will grab your hymn books and let us sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
God, as we live our life, Lord, we want it to be a witness of your grace and mercy. Watch over us as you watch over Teddy. Bless his life, we pray, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Please prepare your hearts for prayer. Dear loving God, thank you, God, for this day. It is one you have made. Let us be glad in it. Lord, you've made more than just this day as our creator and as the earth's creator. Not only does your Bible tell us how much you love us, so does your creation. David wrote in the Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." Each season has its own beauty and wonder, but spring to me seems to shout out, "Look at me." As I gaze at each unique flower, listen to each bird sing their own song, marvel at the variety of the color greens in the trees, soak up the sounds of the waves at the beach, watch the stillness of the water at the lakes, or just enjoy the park or backyards, I give you thanks. Thanks for the gifts of sight and hearing. Thanks for the splendor of the world. And thanks for your love. You did this for us. I can't imagine what Eden or heaven looked like if this earth is just a sampling. Thank you, Lord, for being our creator and for this creation in which we live. Help us, Lord, to always remember to give you thanks for the colored pencils you use in each sunset and sunrise. Help us not to take these gifts or you for granted ever. Thank you, Lord, for your precious Son who taught his disciples and us how to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Please stand as you're able and join in singing the hymn of preparation. It's number 557, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
Thank you.
today's scripture, coming from Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching, for they are a fair garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Saw it, there's a short in the light up here. Now, I probably just have messed up the worship service for so many now that I've called, brought your attention to this. But it was happening in the early service, and it's already happened twice here. So it's not for shading purposes or, you know, to make me look better on the camera. If it just starts to flicker on and off, just know that it's there. And but I noticed that this morning, and if you're like me, and whenever there's something that you see in the room that doesn't sort of line up correctly, it bugs you. So I hope that you're not, and it doesn't bug you in the worship service. But if it is, just smile and wave, and it'll all be good. Let's pray. Oh God, as we worship on this day, a day that we celebrate mothers in our country, and really over the world, we're so grateful for those who have served in this capacity in our life. And what we pray, God, is that as we worship, we also want the text to be used in a way that with the addition of your Spirit that transforms and recreates and redeems inside of us so that our nature and the nature of Christ become one for the purpose of witness in the world. And so again, we open ourselves to that this morning. We want to acknowledge and to own that again. And we pray this in your name. Amen. There are maybe 7 to 10 Sundays throughout the year that we would classify as those high and holy days. And what we mean by that is that the Sunday, they're important because they're tied to a theological event. And I'm sure if you were to make a quick list, you would know a number of them. Obviously, the Sunday that's tied to Christmas, Incarnation, those Sundays that are tied to Advent, the ones that prepare us for Christmas, those Sundays that are tied to Lent, Easter would be another, or Pentecost would be another. And the reason why they're important is because we associate them, or they're tied specifically with a theological event. I mean, Easter is Easter because it's tied to a resurrection. And so Easter for us is a day of life. It is a day of resurrection. But there are other days, maybe 5, 6, maybe 7 at most, that are a part of our life. They might be part of a congregation that aren't tied to a specific theological event like some of the others. But they're important nonetheless because they're important in our calendar. Next week, you heard Mary Lou talk about graduation Sunday. That is a high day for us here at St. Paul. There'll be 30 graduates that we'll celebrate. And you'll hear from a couple of, they'll give testimonies, a few, next week where they'll talk about what they've learned and what they've watched in your life. That's important. It's important in their life and their families. It's important for us as a congregation. But for me, the 4th of July fall, it doesn't always fall on a Sunday, but that's an important day in our country. And so normally the part of the worship service is the acknowledgement of freedom and liberty. And so we embrace that again. Mother's Day. Today is one of those Sundays. And I would imagine if your family is like the one that's probably sitting next to you, that there's so much lumped into this day, and it'll be a day that's filled to some degree joy, and because it's an acknowledgement of what is, but then for others, maybe not so much. Maybe it's a sobering day. It's a reminder of maybe what is not. It's hard for me that as we approach those calendar days like Mother's Day. In a few weeks, we'll do it with Father's Day. It's hard not to think about legacy. What's passed down from one generation to the next. And the older I've become, the more I see this, at least in my own life. I'll speak just first person. To see that with gratitude. That long before me, there were generations that they took the responsibility to pass down to the next generation for them, and then the next generation, and finally it lands, at least in me, on my shoulders. And I would imagine the same is for you. Now, people say that's wisdom. I hope that it is. To see the responsibility from one generation to the next, and then to some point for then me to take that responsibility, or for you to take that responsibility, to have received from so many, to eventually it lands on your shoulders, and then it becomes a responsibility, not just something you've received, but a responsibility for you to pass on and to give to the next. That was the burden for the writer of the book of Proverbs. And for this writer, this next generation, to make sure that a foundation was created. So much the role of a mother, similar to that to the writer of the Proverbs. To lay a foundation for one to launch from, but then at the same time, to lay that foundation that they can lean upon in times of struggle or difficulty. And to a great extent, this is larger than just a biological family. I mean, there are people in our congregation that in this community that are involved in so many other people's families because they sense this responsibility to help create something that somebody can launch from, and then at the same time to create something that they can lean upon in times of struggle. There are people in this church today, the sanctuary. Embrace that role. This idea of legacy. Receiving something and then at the same time passing on to the next. In Proverbs, that really is wisdom. Actually, in the book, it talks about wisdom through four different categories. The writer says, first and foremost, wisdom has to be practical. And what the writer meant was that being able to cope with daily living, just day in and day out. To some degree, it has to be what the Proverbs calls intellectual wisdom. For us, it would be something specific. That if it's not passed down, then the next generation will not get it, will not understand it. It also has to be moral, meaning that people know the difference between right and wrong. You know what? One of the, and I would imagine it's true in any generation, but I know it's true today. You know what the biggest struggle for so many is? Narcissism. This idea that there is a worldview, it's just that in the center of that worldview is you. And so then people or others, whether it be a person or it be a thing, they can be used, manipulated, so that they're there for your benefit. Narcissism is the ability to not understand no. And it lives and breeds in our society. And yet there's another worldview that says that people are of value and they exist. They just aren't in the center where everything else revolves around them. The worldview that the writer of the Proverbs is trying to create is that second category, where there's actually a larger view of right and wrong that's not tied to just what person what you can manipulate to justify. And so for the Proverbs writer, wisdom is practical, it's specific, it's moral. And to some degree, it has to have self-control. Maturity. You know what that really is? That's living knowing delayed gratification. Which means that I might want something, but I can wait in order to receive it, because maybe in the waiting, there's something even better. Can't get there. Can't get there without disciplines. Because that's what teaches self-control. You know what happens when we pass this type of wisdom down to the next generation? It creates discernment. Discernment is where you know the world around you is fluid and it's moving, and yet you're able to parse that so that you can make a decision, the right decision at the right time. That's really what discernment is. People are not born with discernment. It has to be taught. Which means in that teaching time, it's a process which involves time. Now, here's what you need to know. When you take the responsibility that sits with you to teach and to pass on to the next generation, which involves a level of discernment, which also involves time, you need to understand that this generation that is learning from you, they might not like you all the time. I know it's a shock. It is. But it's a huge temptation for us. But I'll tell you also what's true. When they journey through what you're teaching them, and then they become mature, they'll love you because of it. I cannot stress to you how important this is. See, the problem for so many of us is where we will sacrifice the long-term goal for the immediate. And it's not helpful. Sometimes even can be tragic. I mean, think about what happens when we apply this to education. Homework. Well, you don't have to do it. Better yet, give it to me, I'll do it for you. And yet, they learn all the time, right? How about health? I cannot tell you how many times my children wanted to convince me that Doritos and Dr. Pepper are actually a fine dinner. What about faith? You know, I just want them to be happy. I don't want them to be uncomfortable. Or maybe I don't know what to do, so I'm going to trust another person to do it for me. There's a Hebrew word that's called tagbulath. And tagbulath, if we were to translate this into just the literal English, it would be navigation for life. And the idea is where someone's word and their deed are brought together, and so they create a narrative so that then a person who is involved with that narrative, they see over and over and over and over and over again how to navigate life. And I wonder how often we just allow someone else to do that. And we miss our responsibility. I had a childhood friend that he would often, whenever I think we probably spent the night with each other about 25 weeks out of the year. Either I would be at his house or he would be at my house. And the times where we were at his house, we still had to go to church, which means that either my parents were going to pick me up, take me to church, or they would just drop us off. And if he spent the night with us, then that would happen. And often, his parents would drop him off at church and wouldn't stay, thinking that maybe through osmosis, he would get it. I don't think it did. Nine out of 10 times, what this next generation sees at home, that's what they're going to follow. So you think about what you've received. What's been passed down from generation to generation in your life. Part of that's faith. And so now what sits with us and our responsibility is to parse what we've received and then to create a foundation for one to launch from and to lean upon. Takbulath. The clearest message is always from home. Now, some might be thinking, well, it's too late for me. My children are older, Shane. I've got great-grandchildren who are about to have children. Some lessons are timeless. Somebody else will say, well, you know, Shane, it's easy for you. It's not. But I don't feel like I'm qualified enough. It's not about perfection. Sometimes I think that's an illusion. Again, Takbulath, the narrative that they see in your life, there are going to be times where we get it right, and there are going to be times where we get it wrong. Often those times when we get it wrong, that is where the teaching needs to be. I mean, how do you train somebody to understand forgiveness or redemption? Just turn to John's gospel and say, read it? Or maybe the message that says, here's how I seek to live my faith out. And here's where I know the wind is at my back, but here's where the wind is in my face, and I want you to learn with me. Not just from me. That's wisdom. And it does sit with this current generation, the responsibility to take what you have received, to process that through your life, and then to with this next generation, to lay a foundation for them, just as it's been laid for you. That's a legacy. Some lessons are timeless. They never go away. Oh God, as we have this day that we celebrate, and we're so grateful, because to some degree, this is a day of reflection. We see what we've learned, the way we've been loved. And then there are times where it hadn't always been perfect. And yet somehow in the midst of all of that, we still can see you. Lord, what I pray is, and it's larger than just our own individual families, although that's probably where we have the greatest influence, that the responsibility to teach, model, love, it's all relational. To lay a foundation over time that becomes unbreakable. Doesn't have to be perfect. Use us, O God, we pray. Help us, O God, we pray. And we pray this in your name. Amen. A hymn 384, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That's our hymn of consecration. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing this together. Hymn number 384. Thank you. bless and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You are dismissed.